This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Big day tomorrow. Saturday is Election Day. So before you come out to the Home and Garden Show, make sure you vote. We're joined by Secretary Richard Nelson, Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Revenue. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Noel. Glad to be here.
So, Richard, I know of the amendments. Amendment number 2 is the one that's in your travel lane. Your thoughts about Amendment 2 and what you want our listening audience to understand about Amendment 2.
Sure. So, Amendment 2 is really a accumulation of probably 50 years of policy recommendations on how to really move Louisiana forward, how to fix the foundational problems that exist in the state. It rewrites Article 7 of the Constitution, which is a revenue and taxation article. That article, over the years, has now grown to be even longer than the original Constitution. About 80% of all the amendments we have to vote on are to Article 7. And so we took this opportunity, we were doing this tax reform special session last year, to try and go in there and really, you know, fix those problems that have been there for a long time, that have been recommended that we fix, and, really give the state the tools that it needs to in order to go out and, you know, keep people here, keep businesses here, and attract new businesses, new folks to come to Louisiana and really grow our state. And so that's the goal of the amendment. It has a lot of pieces in there because we are rewriting this whole section, but it makes these makes these improvements that have been recommended for a very long time.
What would you say are two of the most important provisions within Amendment number 2 to what you just talked about, changing the way that we traditionally viewed revenue here in this state and how we're going to treat that?
Sure. So, one of the ones that I think is most important is the government growth limit. It sets a limit on how much the general expenses of the state can grow. It links it to population and inflation. So basically, we keep a state government that lives within its means. I think that's really important for our state in order to, continue to have a nimble state, that we don't take too much tax money and we use that tax money wisely. And so that's an important part. And then I would say the second one that is really important, too, is the changes to the funds that are currently locked up in the Constitution. We put almost $3 billion. We'll raise the amount of money in the state's rainy day savings account to $3 billion, which will be one of the best funded savings accounts in the country. We allow the legislature more flexibility on our corporate and our oil and gas revenues. to use that money for things like infrastructure today for those problems we have today. And then on the teachers' retirement system, we make a $2 billion payment from some of these funds locked up in the Constitution to pay down that debt that's been around for a long time, for generations. And so that's a huge investment that will create over $300 million a year in savings and will give the teachers a permanent salary increase as a result of those savings. So I think those things are very critical, I think, to the success of our state going forward. And it's really a significant change from kind of the ways of the past to the ways of the future.
Some of those dollars end up in the general fund. What is your confidence level that we don't end up putting that towards recurring expenditures as opposed to one-time expenditure items?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's why we put that government growth limit in place, was to say, hey, look, we're not going to grow the state government any more than just what inflation is plus population growth. And that's why that provision was so important to put in the Constitution. The current limit that's in there is not really that, it can be overridden with a two-thirds vote, and it doesn't really have much teeth. And so the new limit prohibits those recurring expenses from being tacked on. And that way, the money can only go where it needs to go.
Are any of the governor mentioned the other day, I think he was in Shreveport, is that if Amendment 2 fails, that it looks there's a possibility of the $3,000 stipend for teachers going away. Seems that a lot of folks were surprised by that. Has that been something that's been talked about before?
So they have presented an executive budget already, and it doesn't include the $200 million cost for that one-time stipend. So the legislature has put that forward for the last couple of years. We had some extra money, and so they put that money to that $2,000 stipend for teachers. Mm-hmm. That they don't have that money this year, and so that's not currently in the budget. And that was part of the reason why we wanted to use this big debt payment to really free up that money so that we can give the teachers not just this one-time stipend so they have to worry about it every year, but a recurring salary increase that they'll get, from now for forever.
So that's the full context then of the comment, was that it's not contemplated in the existing budget that's being presented.
That's right. That's right. And that's part of our problem in how that stipend has been done, is it's only been a one-time deal that has now happened twice. But we wanted to give that permanent certainty of having that $2,000 be available every year for every teacher. And, the best way to do that was to pay down some of this debt that right now all the school systems and all the taxpayers have to pay now. Is just you're paying in an interest on this debt instead of actually just paying the teachers.
Any concern as it relates to local government? I mean, one of the obvious issues is that as well as I that the local government relies a lot on the state for a lot of differing funding initiatives. In the economic downturn years, when we have this spending limit placed on it, where does local government have to go? Or is this the state's way of saying, well, you're just going to have to live within your means, you're going to have to make these cuts?
So I would say that, the amendment, one of the other things that it does is it gives the locals a greater share of their severance tax revenue. That doesn't mm-hmm. benefit every parish, but there are, it's like maybe 15 parishes that would end up getting more severance tax revenue instead of the state taking a bigger portion of that share. So that gives them more independence, I think, and gives them more flexibility with their own money, which I think is positive. From the state perspective, you do have a significantly increased rainy day fund. So if, we come up short, we don't have to cut some of these other things, which includes that local support, right? We'll have $3 billion in the account instead of about $1 billion that's in there now. So you will have more money available in the event of a shortfall. If the locals do, rely on the state for some things, they can have that bigger cushion. But at the end of the day, I really think the goal is to, grow the pie for everybody. So I think if we have a more diverse economy, we have more jobs and opportunity, that's what this amendment will accomplish. And I think the locals benefit from that. The state government benefits from that. Everybody benefits from growing the state.
Historically, Richard, you well know, because you've seen this happen over and over again, that when there is an economic downturn, it seems as though healthcare and education are the first to get on, you know, that first one's up on the chopping block. Does this change that approach?
I would say it gives more flexibility to the legislature, especially on like those corporate and severance revenues that are currently, you know, that currently get dedicated and kind of locked away. So it does give more flexibility over the revenue streams, which I think helps insulate both healthcare and education from cuts, or higher ed from cuts. That payment to the $2 billion to the teachers' retirement fund, it also benefits higher ed to about $86 million or so. And so that'll be an $86 million reduction in the cost of all the salaries for those higher ed institutions. And so that's a benefit, too, that they won't have to pay that anymore. That reduction will make them more secure. But at the end of the day, I think there's the greater flexibility for the legislature to allocate those corporate and severance revenues is probably the best the best thing to insulate from those cuts. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, just a couple months ago, we were talking about the fiscal cliff. We addressed most of that, at least in the short run. We addressed a lot of that in the tax reform special session last year. You know, we don't have this $780 million or whatever of cuts that we would have had to implement this year, mostly to higher ed and healthcare. But at the same time, you want that flexibility in the long run so that you don't ever have to run into that problem again.
Final thoughts?
I just really encourage everybody to go out and vote. I mean, I can't stress enough. Obviously, this is not there's not a lot of things on the ballot. You know, a lot of folks have, you know, just the four amendments. Amendment 2 is what we've been talking about. And it really is one of the most important votes you'll ever make in your life as far as deciding the future of the state, you know, whether your kids can stay here for opportunity and jobs or whether they have to go somewhere else. And so we're really trying to abandon that status quo and build a state that we can all be proud of. And I think that this amendment really makes significant strides in building Louisiana we can all agree needs to exist and, you know, build us in the right position for the future.
No doubt that the level of importance, anytime that you're amending the state constitution, it's up there, right? And it's important that you get out and let everyone know, by casting your vote, where you stand on these issues. And it's an important day. And I, too, encourage folks to get out there and vote. Mr. Secretary Richard Nelson, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm going to talk to a few folks that are out here and presenting. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.